And we are back with the latest edition of We've Seen That, movies of the 80s, 90s, and more. Our little radio show, our little digital radio program, our podcast, our on-demand show, whatever phrase you want to use. My name is TJ Reeves. I am based in West Central Florida in the Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area. He is the famous J.J. Betzel, based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Fort Worth, Texas. How you feeling on this new edition of the program?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
We're getting along good. And you know what? You and I aren't getting older. We're just getting more experienced, aren't we? Because we keep doing these editions of the show, and we come around to 25th anniversaries over and over again. We got another 25th anniversary on the show. I cannot possibly be this old. Am I this old that the movie Basic Instinct is 25 years old at the time we're talking about this?
Yeah, 1992 was the year that Basic Instinct was released. It came out actually on March the 20th, the week before White Man Can't Jump, as you know, because we were talking about that last week when we were trying to figure out what movie we wanted to do this. It opened at number one. It made $15.1 million. For a domestic total, it ended up with $117 million. Worldwide, $352.9 million for this little erotic thriller starring Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone, written by Joe Esterhaus, directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Well, and again, we're in a time period too, back in the early 90s especially, when these mega movies with the big name stars were coming out. But the interesting thing is that in this movie, and we'll get into kind of the cast and stuff, we really didn't know a lot about Sharon Stone. We knew everything about Sharon Stone and saw everything about Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, and once it was over with, she became a worldwide star.
Right. You know, and a lot of us knew who she was because of her role in Total Recall, where she had played Arnold Schwarzenegger / Michael Ironside's wife. And that movie was also directed by Paul Verhoeven. So we kind of knew who she was, but this just kind of took her to that stratosphere of being a movie star and not just someone people who are movie fans know who she is.
All right. So as we like to do here at the beginning of these shows, when we get the opportunity, here's what we're talking about. The 1992 erotic thriller, Basic Instinct, is our topic on We've Seen That.
We got 31 stab wounds.
What was it?
Ice pick.
I'd like to speak to Miss Catherine Trammell, please.
Is she a suspect?
She's a suspect.
I wanted to write a book about the murder of a retired rock and roll star.
You know how she does the boyfriend? An ice pick.
She intended the book to be her alibi.
I picked him up, then I had sex with him.
You didn't feel anything for him, you just had sex with him for your book.
In the beginning. Then I got to like what he did for me.
You like playing games, don't you?
It's nice.
You've got no physical evidence.
She's lying. What's your new book about?
A detective. He falls for the wrong woman.
What happens?
She kills him.
Stay away from her! You are out of control, Kurt.
You won't learn anything I don't want you to know.
She knew I'd say she did it, and she knew that nobody would buy it.
She is screwing with your head, Nick.
She knows things about me that I only told you.
How does it feel to kill someone?
You tell me.
Nick, you got too close to the flame. Nick, you liked it. You're in over your head.
It's internal affairs, wasn't it?
She manipulates people.
Freeze! How much did she pay you?
Come on, play, huh? Come on!
She knows where I live and breathe.
Games are over, Nick.
Okay, and I'm not sure that everybody really fully grasped how much gripping, intense, dramatic, erotic, everything, violent even in this was going to be thrown around. I mean, you had some idea from that trailer, and I realize this is an audio, it's a digital audio podcast, and you couldn't see it, but yeah, the intrigue, it was around everywhere around that. So get into some vital stats here. You already mentioned when it was released, but get into some vital stats about Basic Instinct here to get us kicked off, Jay Betzel.
Okay, as anyone who's seen Basic Instinct knows, as far as stats go, the movie opens with the murder of the wealthy rock and roll star Johnny Boz. And you can see that he's in bed with a woman, but you can't see who it is because of hair's in her face. And then it kind of, you get introduced to Nick Curran, the detective played by Michael Douglas, and his partner Gus, played by George Zunda. They're the ones that are called to investigate the murder. And you kind of see all of the inner goings of the investigation. It's kind of like a 1992 R-rated version of Law and Order, if you will. We had Lieutenant Walker, Captain Talcott, all of the CSI type guys that are there. And the rock and roll star Johnny Boz apparently was friends with the mayor. And so they're basically being really careful as to who's noticing what's going on in the case, and kind of, you know, just basically making sure it gets top priority. And the funny part is that as the movie goes along, you start to learn a lot about Nick Curran, that he apparently shot some tourists while he was high on cocaine. And yet he's the one that they chose to be the lead detective on the Johnny Boz murder. And the suspects that they go to do the first interrogation is Johnny Boz's girlfriend, Catherine Tremell.
Okay, so again, in laying this out kind of as part of the vital stats, it's interesting that San Francisco is the setting, because long before Michael Douglas became a movie star, Famous Jay, he was a television star on the detective show The Streets of San Francisco with he and Carl Malden. I mean, if you ever get the opportunity to go back online through Netflix or wherever and find old 1970s, and it may have even bled into early 1980, 81, The Streets of San Francisco, and watch a young Michael Douglas running around. So you go back to his roots from about 15 years earlier at this time period, as he's a San Francisco detective. Kind of interesting there that they came back to that for this film.
Yeah, and you know, Michael Douglas obviously was a huge star when this movie came out, because he was he won the Academy Awards for producing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest back in mid-70s, I believe 75. And then during the 80s, he had Romancing the Stone. Of course, he won his Oscar for Wall Street in 1987.
Phenomenal.
Don't forget Fatal Attraction, which a lot of people kind of compared Basic Instinct to. A couple of the critics that I saw when I was doing the research for this said Basic Instinct was the best thriller since Fatal Attraction. So yeah, Michael Douglas, just, you know, he was obviously, in fact, when you see the original posters, he was the only name. They didn't even have Sharon Stone's name on the poster.
Well, that's what I'm referring to, that at that time he was the star. What's interesting on the vital stats are the fact that the producers, the director, they were interested in an assortment of people to potentially play the Nick Curran character. Everybody from Al Pacino to potentially Wesley Snipes or Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis, who was hot at that time with the Die Hard movies, or Nicolas Cage or Denzel Washington. They were all names that were being considered, but Nick Curran's character is almost, again, like Michael Douglas being a detective in the streets of San Francisco. So it's almost fitting that he ends up being that and ends up being cast for the role. How about who they were originally considering? You know some of the names they were originally considering for the female lead, for Catherine Tremell, the author, who ends up being, as we find out as the movie goes along, ends up being the killer. You know some of those names?
I do know that there was roughly 13 actresses that had been offered the role before Sharon Stone.
Wow.
And I saw Gina Davis, I believe, was one of them. Kelly Lynch, who we know from the great Patrick Swayze classic
Roadhouse, yes.
We know there. Give me some of the others.
Kim Basinger, Julia Roberts, apparently, was being considered at one point. Meg Ryan at one point. I can't see Meg Ryan. I can't see Julia Roberts ending up being the killer. Remember, Julia Roberts right around this time did Sleeping with the Enemy, right, where she's the victim, where she's the wife in a brutal, abusive relationship and trying to get away from her husband any way that she can, including faking her death in Sleeping with the Enemy. I can't. She could not have been Catherine Tremell, Julia Roberts. Do you agree with me?
When I think about Basic Instinct, I think it's a movie that, you know, Sharon Stone was obviously the perfect person to play it, the part of Catherine Tremell. But you know, Julia Roberts was already a huge star from 2 years before when she was in Pretty Woman. So that basically probably would have angered a lot of her fans.
Very true.
Pretty Woman and Flatliners and Steel Magnolias, because this would kind of go against type. One of the other ones I did see that was up for the role, or had actually been talked to, was Greta Scacchi from our favorite movie, Presumed Innocent. she had played Harrison Ford's lover, Presumed Innocent.
Yes.
The victim.
Carolyn Polemus, as I remember. That might be a future. We've seen that. So, but she wasn't known for much more other than that. But, again, also Demi Moore, who had around this time been in A Few Good Men, as well as some other movies. Demi Moore might have made it work. Ellen Barkin was apparently also considered. And we know Ellen Barkin now from a few other movies, serious dramas.
She's been in Sea of Love.
Right? With Al Pacino in that one.
Correct.
So interesting who they considered. They settled on Sharon Stone. Pop quiz, Mr. Stats. Do you know what Sharon Stone was given up front to make Basic Instinct?
I want to say something like $200,000.
$500,000. Which even 25 years later, let's say you double that. She essentially was given $1 million in our present day, 2017, 25 years later after the that's peanuts. What did the movie end up making when it was all said and done?
$352.9 million.
$350 million film, and they got Sharon Stone to do it for the guarantee of $500,000. So they brought them together, and Jay Betzel, there was controversy. From the beginning with shooting this movie, in particular in San Francisco. You want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, well, also, it kind of goes back to the part with Catherine Tramiel being bisexual. And there was lots of anger from the gay and lesbian rights activists. And in fact, remember when the movie came out? That's probably why it doesn't seem like it was 25 years ago. You had gay rights activists outside the movie theater telling people how the movie would end. Trying to dissuade people from going to see the movie.
They were apparently in the early days of shooting the movie trying to disrupt shooting the movie at times. And I guess the San Francisco Police Department, the real San Francisco Police Department, as opposed to the actors playing the San Francisco cops with the fake guns and the fake badges, I guess refused to intervene and refused to try to step in and stop this. Or maybe it was just kind of overblown. But the bottom line is there were a lot of protests here. This was a time period. I mean, let's keep this in mind socially, Jay, that in this time period, the AIDS epidemic that was going on in the late 80s and the early 90s, remember Magic Johnson had just announced that he had HIV, and there were numerous other individuals, famously Arthur Ashe, another one with HIV that eventually acquired AIDS. And there was vitriol, there was hatred on both sides of the issue everywhere. And again, for the homosexual community, the gay and lesbian community, they were furious at the portrayal that a bisexual character or a homosexual character could be a murderous, rampaging killer like this. And they were going to do everything they could to try to ruin this movie. And so they were there at the theater. I remember seeing this movie in the theater, and I don't remember a protest being at my theater, but I remember this being on the news, Jay, where these different protest groups were at the theaters chanting, "Catherine is the killer, Catherine is the killer," over and over again, outside the theater, trying to ruin your movie-going experience. It didn't work, ultimately.
No, and you know, part of it's because it's a really, really entertaining movie. And let's kind of move on. We were kind of touching on the plot a little bit earlier. So basically, they have the meeting of the minds at the San Francisco Police Department to try and figure out how they're going to move forward with this case. And remember, what they end up doing is they bring in Catherine Tramiel against the wishes of Captain Talcott, who was played by Chelsea Ross, who we know from.
Captain Talcott, Chelsea Ross, that would be the same Chelsea Ross that's in a couple of sports movies that we like, right? He's the baseball pitcher. Is it Eddie that's the pitcher? I think
he's in Major League.
He's in Major League as the pitcher, and then he's also George, the basketball coach, one of the townspeople in Hoosiers. Very famously, we did a Hoosiers, we've seen that, very famously with Gene Hackman as Norman Dale coming up to George and saying, "Let's get two things straight. My name is Norman Dale, I'm a nice guy, and your coaching days are over."
Yes, and he went out of his way to try and get him fired after that. And then he also was Senator Calvin Baynard in The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah, how about that?
Bruce Wilson, Damon Wayans. So he's kind of all over the place. He plays Captain Talcott in this. We also have the actor Wayne Knight, who we know from Seinfeld as Newman.
Newman.
Who was in Basic Instinct and played Corelli, who was the assistant district attorney.
Right.
And just a side note to that, Joe Esterhaus is the man who wrote Basic Instinct. He also wrote Jade in 1995, which starred David Caruso, among others.
Oh, yeah, right.
David Caruso's character was David Corelli, assistant district attorney in San Francisco.
How about that?
So coincidentally, a little side note.
Little play on both. How about that? All right, so wait a minute. So Newman, and they were making Seinfeld episodes at this time, back in the early 90s. Newman definitely deviating from being in a comedy setting to being in that steamy interrogation in San Francisco with Catherine Tramiel that we'll get into in a few minutes. And you know who else is there as one of the police detectives, one of the fellow detectives, is Skinner from the X-Files. I'm a big X-Files guy. Were you I don't know this. Were you an X-Files guy? And they're bringing it back around now. Are you an X-Files guy?
Not an X-Files fan, but I do know who Mitch Pileggi is from the most recent incarnation of the TV show Dallas, which they made here in my little borough.
But I gotta help you that he's much more famous for being Skinner on the X-Files. He is kind of the foil to everything that Mulder and Scully are trying to do on the X-Files. So... in any event, those are some of the characters that are in and around this. But clearly, Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone are the stars. The movie revolves, obviously, around them. And we left out one other female that's intertwined in this. Go ahead.
Another female that's intertwined? Are you talking about the psychiatrist?
Yes, Jeannie Trebilhorn.
Elizabeth Garner.
Dr. Garner. And we got to talk about who she is because Jeannie Trebilhorn was becoming very prominent at this time.
Correct. Yeah, this was her debut. This was her first movie, and she's up there hanging with the likes of Michael Douglas. She is the police department psychiatrist who Michael Douglas was forced to go visit because of all the trouble he had, as we mentioned earlier, with his shooting the terrorists. And he basically ends up having a passionate love affair with her, and she falls in love with him.
Doesn't it always seem to work that way in these cop movies where they fall in love with the therapist? James Bond made that famous, right? They would have him go for the psychoanalysis, and he would end up wooing the psychiatrist into a love affair, and that would be that. He would get a good rating and get reinstated as a 00. So that's not anything original, but that was definitely a big part of the plot line, and would become a big part, obviously, of the culmination of the movie. About having Dr. Huge. Garner involved, as it turns out.
Absolutely. And let's go back and revisit Sharon Stone for a moment, because we're talking about the big interrogation scene, which there's people who haven't seen this movie who know about this particular scene. So Catherine Tramiel is a crime novelist. She writes novels, and a lot of times the crazy part about it is her crimes in the book tend to be either have already happened or happen afterwards, just coincidentally. So anyway, and also she is worth roughly $100 million because her family was rich when her parents died when she was a kid. So you have that. And she graduated from Berkeley with a degree in psychology, or I believe. So she basically has a degree in messing with people's minds. And as we go on to watch the movie, she's a tad bit on the clever and manipulative side.
Well, and that's, again, what sets the whole drama, the whole murder mystery, the whole whodunit. Situation in motion, because obviously Nick Curran starts becoming romantically involved with her while tailing her, chasing her, and he doesn't want her to be the killer. He doesn't believe that she is the killer, or she's at least got him convinced that somebody else must be the killer. And in fact, she starts leading him to believe that it's his former girlfriend, the psychiatrist Dr. Garner. And she's definitely got him, you said, dazed and confused before. She's got him dazed and confused six different ways in this plot line.
Yeah, Lieutenant Walker had basically told Nick to follow her and see where she leads. And in the process of all that, she ends up telling him that she's going to make him the character of her new book, which is called Shooter, which is his nickname from Shooting the Terrorists. And So basically, the two of them, you know, Michael Douglas is pretty cocky when he's around her. He says he knows she's the killer. He knows she did it. He's in love with her, but he'll nail her anyways. And she basically just toys with him. And in the process of him following her around, he learns that her girlfriend, played by Leilani Sorrell, whose name is Roxy, that Roxy apparently killed her whole family when she was a teenager, and her records had been sealed because it was a juvenile thing. He follows her through the streets of San Francisco, basically on the Pacific Coast Highway, and almost gets run off the road by an 18-wheeler as he's following her. she goes to this house of Hazel Dobkins, who apparently chopped up her whole family. So basically, everyone that is friends with Catherine Tramell, that she knows through her research of her books and so on and so forth, you know, have all been involved in major murders.
Well, and so that's, again, intertwining the mystery part of this, the who is the killer, the whodunit part of this, as the movie unfolds. So I mentioned I saw the movie in the theater. I have to say that when the interrogation scene happened, of course, if you are a guy, if you're a heterosexual male, you perked up immediately at that. And it's interesting. Let's get into that particular scene, because it caused a lot of controversy at that time. And once it was released, and then I guess there's some urban legend about what really happened between Sharon Stone and the directors and the producers, and whether that scene was supposed to be there. So let's get into it a little bit, because it's as you said, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know about that scene and you may have seen that scene.
Well, and let's do the obvious too. Kind of just take a step back for a second. Back in 1992, we didn't have, you know, the internet like we do now. So that was a surprise. You know, back then, there's a lot of us that maybe thought Blair Witch Project could have actually been real, you know, or the, like, you know, this particular movie, there was not a lot of spoilers that were out there because you didn't have Facebook and Twitter and everyone saying, oh my gosh, you got to pay attention, you know, an hour into the movie to see this thing. So a lot of times when you're going to see this movie, you didn't know. I mean, you knew going to see the movie that it was a sexy thriller, but you just didn't know how far it would go.
Very true. And so they pushed the limits. And do you know about the urban legend of Sharon Stone apparently watching the movie in a theater anonymously, sneaking in after it started, watching it in a theater, and then being horrified because she supposedly did not know that shot of, let's, you know, I do understand that this is adult themed here with what we're doing on We've Seen That, but I'll do my best to keep it clean. Female anatomy being shown in all its glory. Did I do okay there with that? She did not believe that the female anatomy that she had was going to suddenly become worldwide famous.
Well, this movie was made in 1982, but we're talking about it in 2017. So someone doesn't understand, they can go find it on YouTube. The interrogation scene from Basic Instinct without much problem, and they can understand exactly what you're talking about.
Right, she apparently was horrified that they left that in, and then there was some debate and discussion about whether she knew that she was being filmed with a camera shot while uncrossing her legs at that low of a level, that she did know, and that she told them to cut it out, and they didn't cut it out. And then the most sinister scenario of all, that she actually knew, Sharon Stone, the actress, exactly how to play this, and that the way to get more attention for it, of course, Famous Jay, is draw outrage. Draw outrage from yourself, because what does everybody naturally want to do? When she's outraged and upset, I can't believe they did this, you know, it's destroying me as an artist, blah, blah, blah. What does everybody want to do? They want to go watch.
Sharon Stone turned into Catherine Tramell and became a little manipulative.
Right, but I mean, they want to all go.
People want to go see the
movie. They want to go see the movie, and they want to go see the scene. And so I tend to believe that scenario. What about you? That she was fully aware of what they were going to do, and she was fully aware, not unlike Madonna. Because keep in mind, in this time period in the early 90s, Madonna began to figure out, the more outrageous that I can be, the more outrageous things that I say, outrageous music videos. Remember, she made the music video Like a Prayer that was right around this time with the burning cross and the sacrilege and all this stuff. She knew exactly what she was doing to get people
Don't
to watch
Madonna's body of evidence that came out the year after this, which was essentially a really bad, like, straight-to-DVD style remake of this that had Willem Dafoe and Joe Mantegna and Madonna. Madonna was basically playing the same type of part as Sharon Stone played in Basic Instinct.
Right.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, she understood how to manipulate the media, manipulate fans, and draw attention to her music and her concert tour. And this is the same thing that Sharon Stone was doing with this movie. I firmly believe she knew exactly what they were going to do, and they did it. Now, what's interesting, the movie originally wasn't going to be allowed in theaters because of the new NC-17 rating. You want to share more about how they had to finally go back to the cutting room and figure out how this movie could become rated R?
Yeah, they were in trouble. I mean, TriStar Pictures was releasing it, so it was going to get in the theaters. But most of the theater companies we're not going to have an NC-17 movie, because the NC-17 was essentially the PC way of being rated X. So they weren't going to have any X-rated films in their major distributors and stuff like that. So basically they had to go into the opening scene where Johnny Boz got killed, and you can see like him getting stabbed in the neck with an ice pick and stuff like that. And they basically kind of toned that down a little bit. There's the there's a scene where Curran is actually having sex with Dr. Garner at her place, and it's pretty rough. He rips her clothes off and kind of just throws her down on the couch.
Right.
And it's kind of like you can tell that he's basically thinking about Sharon Stone. You know, and he's
and the
he's
scene, honestly,
some of his
aggression,
uncontrollable urges, if you will,
and his problems and all that's manifested. But really in that part of the scene, and again, this is very adult with the conversation, it is almost like a sexual assault. It's almost like a rape scene. And in fact, if you watch this movie on basic cable, when they've shown it in the past, which I think the movie is about 30 minutes shorter on basic cable when they show Basic Instinct.
That's one of those. You're wasting your time watching.
Yeah, with cutting the content out.
Watched on HBO.
But it's interesting, if you've ever seen it on basic cable in the years since, that scene begins with them arguing, and then generally it just cuts to them after it's all over, where her clothes are like half torn, and she's saying, "You've never been like that before." And so if you haven't seen the movie previously, you're going, "Haven't been like what before? What is she talking about? What happened?" We cut a whole scene out.
She says something like, "You weren't making love to me." And then he says, "Well, who was I making love to?" And she's like, "You weren't making love."
Right. It was, right. You're scaring me with that. And so that had to be edited. And so eventually they did that. They trimmed some 40 seconds total out of the movie to clean it up, sanitize it enough to where it could be then rated R. And
yeah, the main part also, the other big scene was when Michael Douglas went and met her at the nightclub and took her, and they went back to her house and had like the 7-minute long sex scene in the middle of the movie.
Right.
Which by today's standards is tame, but back then was pretty right on the edge, and they had to cut some parts out of that as well.
All right. So they shorten this some, they get it in the theaters, and immediately everybody goes crazy for Basic Instinct. And tell the story for what you remember about being at the theater that night and watching it in the theaters, because you and I both saw this in the theater back in 1992.
Well, I remember I was certainly one of the younger people in the theater, and I remember the entire theater was packed. I remember them checking IDs at the door because it was such a controversial movie in general. They didn't want anybody sneaking in. And, you know, a lot of times when you go see movies, we've talked about this plenty of times over the years about how when you see a comedy, like I remember seeing Home Alone at the theater in a packed house because it was so much fun to enjoy that with 400 strangers, you know?
Right.
And if you see a scary movie, like the one I've mentioned to you, like is I Know What You Did Last Summer or Scream, when you see that at the theater and there's actually girls screaming, you know, it adds to the entertainment value of the movie to have the people around you. And this one was one of those where the movie was so intense and nobody really knew what was happening. And every time you think you had something figured out in the movie, it's just the movie is as manipulative as Sharon Stone's character is in the movie, where sometimes you start thinking, well, maybe it was Roxy, or maybe it was Dr. Garner, or who knows? Maybe Michael Douglas doesn't know as much as he thinks he does, or maybe he knows more, and we just aren't a part of it. But, I mean, basically, to answer your question, it's one of those, it was fun to watch with a big crowd, because there's definitely a couple of those sighs and a couple of times where people felt uncomfortable being in the room with, you know, 400 or 500 other strangers.
Of course, there's a lot going on between murderous scenes and heavy sexual content. So you had to be ready for all of that. Not a movie for the young. Not a movie for the kids.
Let me switch gears real quick for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier about, you know, Joe Esterhaus writing this and writing the movie Jade with David Caruso. Well, Joe Esterhaus and Paul Verhoeven, the director-writer team on this, Joe Esterhaus was paid a record $3 million for this movie.
Wow. The
script of Basic Instinct. And he teamed up again with Paul Verhoeven in 1995 for the movie called Showgirls. And basically that deal was, it was one of those where this one, you know, the studios wanted to be rated R. They wanted to make sure that it got into the theaters. Showgirls, they embraced being NC-17. They did everything they could to make sure it did not get rated R. And it's one of those, when it came out, it starred Elizabeth Berkley, who everyone knew from Saved by the Bell, and Kyle MacLachlan, who we knew from a handful of the David Lynch projects like Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks. And it was one of those where when people saw it, I think Gina Gershon might have been it too. It's been a while since I've seen it. But it's one of those when people saw it, it was just laughably bad. I think the Razzies that come out right before the Oscars, basically every single award was won by Showgirls that year. But over time, it's become like this cult classic. People watch it about, you know, the gritty story of Vegas and this and that. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out for people that did, that may not know who Joe Esterhaus is. And he's also done some other stories, like he did Flashdance, which was nice.
Much better movie. Irene and Cara, much better movie. Oh, The Jagged Edge. Phenomenal. And again, set in San Francisco, and a dramatic murder thriller, suspense thriller, a whodunit for The Jagged Edge. We might have to do a We've Seen That on that one at some point. So what you're saying is Esterhaus was rolling and then couldn't leave well enough alone after having a mega hit like Basic Instinct and ended up going off the cliff with Showgirls, because that was a disaster.
Well, you know, Showgirls, it was one of those where, you know, might have sounded like a good idea at the time, you know, and who knows these days with the way movie studios mess with things and the way that things just kind of happen. I mean, granted, I say these days, that was in, I believe, 1995. So we're talking roughly 22 years ago. But it was one of those deals where it just didn't work. That's the best way we can.
In
we can
every aspect of that.
And we'll also want to mention real quick, as far as his writing, he did adapt the novel Sliver, and he wrote the screenplay for that, which was released the year after Basic Instinct and starred Sharon Stone as well.
Where she is, she's a victim. She's in the opposite role. Instead of being a murderous psychopath, she's a victim in that instance. She's being watched in that, as it turns out, and it's all about voyeurism in the apartment complex, right? I remember that
one
right around the same time.
Yeah, it's like a skyscraper type of high rise, and William Baldwin is there, and Tom Berenger. It's one of those. I wouldn't say I highly would recommend Sliver, but if you hadn't seen it, it's an entertaining movie.
Okay, so back to one other part. He's the famous Jay. I'm TJ, and this is We've Seen That, movies of the 80s, 90s, and more. We love going back in time. As best you can remember, because I still remember this, did you believe that Dr. Garner was the killer right up until we got to the climactic scene? Because they certainly pointed the movie in that direction in the final 20 minutes of the movie, the final 15 minutes, the final 5 minutes of the movie. It's pointing in the direction that Dr. Garner could be the killer, and then it turns out that she is framed, essentially, for the kill. Did you? I'm watching in the theater, and I'm thinking Jeannie Treblehorn did it. I still remember that to this day. I was convinced that Jeannie Treblehorn had been the killer, and that's what they want you to think.
I did not ever think that. I always thought Sharon Stone was the killer.
Why?
I just did. I never did. And the funny thing is, they had a director's version. You know, you and I joke around about having VHS copies of some of these movies.
Right.
There was a director's cut of Basic Instinct that came out maybe 4 or 5 years after the movie was in the theater. And they explain what's going on in that. And I didn't see it for the reason. The explanation they gave was that when Catherine and Dr. Garner were at Berkeley together, that Catherine fell in love with Dr. Garner. And they had a little lesbian affair. And
which she admits to in the movie. But she's trying
to
tell
Curran.
She says Curran.
She was with her one time.
Right.
But in the story, in the explanation, it says that Catherine basically fell in love with her and became obsessed with her and thought that the best way to punish her was to have her killed by the man she was truly in love with, which was Curran.
Okay, and then there's two other giveaways on who the killer is. And actually, Sharon Stone, I still remember in the postscript of this, many weeks, many months later, and she was asked about it, in other times and other occasions about whether she's the killer in Basic Instinct. She says, and I didn't pick up on this because I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. There are two giveaways that she is the killer. The first giveaway is when she's printing the final copy of her book. And remember, she's breaking it off with Michael Douglas's character, Nick Curran.
He's reading it, remember?
And she's telling him, I finished my book, time for you to go. He's reading on one of those old printers. Did you ever have any of those old Commodore 64 type printers that would print? You know the printer I'm talking about, folks, the ones that would print almost one line at a time and take almost 90 seconds, it seemed like, to print a page, et cetera, et cetera. You ever have one of those printers?
Remember the movie No Way Out with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
How they had that printer? That's what the kind of printer she was.
Well, and our man that played Gus, the actor again, what's it, George Zunga? Is that his name?
George Zunga.
He's in that same movie, No Way Out, with the printer. So, yeah, I mean, in that regard, I remember having one of those printers. But anyway, Curran is looking at the printer. And if you didn't catch it, it's only there for a second on screen where suddenly a sentence comes up about Gus being killed or his partner being killed in an elevator. It says he finds his partner dead in the elevator.
Right.
That's not important at that moment because he's reading that sentence for a second, but it's vital because that's exactly what happens, and there's only one person that can know that that happened. That's the author of the book that's writing the book. That's exactly how his partner's going to die. She lures him to the elevator. She kills him. This makes her the killer. And then, of course, there's the all-time giveaway at the very end where that's where I had the aha moment. Do you remember the ultimate aha moment with the end up on the screen?
When it kind of fades to black and then everybody kind of starts to get up.
Exhale, and then suddenly the lights come back on the movie, and what's under the bed?
An ice pick.
The ice pick, because she's prepared to kill him. She just didn't kill him in that moment.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
And some people still argued, well, she actually was in love with him and she decided not to do it. And then there's other people like, she just hadn't done it yet.
Well, right.
We find out for sure when the sequel Basic Instinct 2 comes out and she is over in Europe, because everyone knows she killed the police officer from San Francisco.
Well, right. So then it's explained, obviously, in that moment. But at that point in time, we've talked about this before, a good filmmaker, a good production team will oftentimes leave you to decide, how is this movie going to end? Is she really going to change her ways? Can she put down almost the psychopathic addiction to killing and settle down and be with Michael Douglas and not kill him? They kind of leave you to decide that.
What he wants to do is raise some Rugrats.
Right. Have a family. That's the whole thing. But I still vividly remember that I was fooled all the way up until the very end with the ice pick in the theater about that.
Well, the first time I saw it, I thought the whole time it was Sharon Stone. And that's just, I didn't buy into
that. That was the famous
I don't
Jay.
Know why, I'm just cynical or whatever, but she just seems so manipulative and so evil.
That was the famous Jay instinct about Basic Instinct. Your instinct was that he did it. That she did it in that instance. All right, so again, as we talk about Basic Instinct, and you already mentioned the sequel on this, still, though, again, the aftermath of this movie, I believe the controversy drove millions more to go see it. You buy that? I think in the subsequent weeks after the release, with all the controversy, the protests, Sharon Stone stoking the fire about how they were showing her full frontal nude, essentially in the movie, that obviously enraged some people, but it also made a whole bunch of people curious to go watch the movie. It was all part of it.
Well, so much of movies is awareness, and that's what that did. That was free pub for that movie, you know. And apparently, you know, you talk about that urban legend. Apparently, she slapped him, Paul Verhoeven, the director, for not discussing it with her.
I don't buy it.
There's so many.
I don't buy it.
Seeing how Sharon Stone has gone, you know, in the years past, especially her amazing role in The Specialist alongside Sylvester Stallone and James Woods, you know, you've seen some of her other movies afterwards. I don't buy it.
All right, and a couple more things that we need to bring up, and we always like to do this on We've Seen That. So you have the movie. It has some box office success, but you look back in history, it got nominated for a couple of Academy Awards. Best Editing, it was nominated for. It was also nominated for Best Original Score, Jerry Goldsmith's music from the movie. Also at the Golden Globe, Sharon Stone nominated for Best Actress, and also Jerry Goldsmith also nominated for Best Score in that instance. Remember the MTV Movie Awards? I mean, people don't even know that MTV 3 decades ago used to show music videos all the time, but then they would do their own original stuff. They had the Movie Awards, and they actually gave Best Female Performance in a Movie in 1992 to Sharon Stone for the MTV Movie Awards. Michael Douglas had been nominated for Best Male Performance, and the movie was nominated for Best Movie, Basic Instinct, but did not win. So for whatever it's worth, on the MTV Movie Awards, Sharon Stone scored a victory, so there was some critical acclaim, at least from their peers in the movie industry. But what about critics?
Let's see what we've got critics wise. I know that Roger Ebert from the Great Siskel and Ebert Show, two thumbs up. He basically gave it 2 out of 4 stars, and he said it was well crafted, but it died down in the last half hour. His quote was, "The film is like a crossword puzzle. It keeps your interest until you solve it. Then it's just worthless scrap with the spaces filled in." I have to disagree with that because it is. I agree with the part that's a crossword puzzle, but at the same time, like I've boasted that I had no doubt that it was Sharon Stone. There was still, you know, it, had it turned out to be someone else, it could have had a little Sixth Sense type ending where you're like, whoa, had one of those aha moments. You know, so I disagree there. If I was going to kind of go along with his run, I definitely say the crossword puzzle is a good analogy, but I think it kept my attention till the very end.
And I guess most of the critics gave it mixed reviews, but again, the public embraced this thing big time. The movie made over $350 million in 1992 alone worldwide, and this doesn't include video, which at that time was a big deal. You know, we've joked about this before, that you would go and rent this movie, and people can't fathom this now in the 2010s, that you would have to go to a video store to rent this. And a lot of times you might be embarrassed. It was almost like going over to the area where the porno movies were in a Blockbuster in a movie store, and you didn't want to be seen in that area where you're looking around trying to find Basic Instinct to rent it. You don't have the advantages now of just being able to order something online or digitally through your TV and nobody knows who you are. You had to go in public and go, you know, kind of sift around and, you know, go act like that you're, you know, looking at this movie or that movie, and then suddenly
you go work your like the bodyguard,
and then you work your way over to where Basic Instinct is on the wall at the Blockbuster or at the movie store to see if there's any,
like the Shannon Tweed movies,
right, to see if there's actually a video cassette in the box. Remember that? Because there had to be a VHS cassette in the box. That's what, but millions of people obviously did that too and went and rented this thing on video. I still can't get over that Sharon Stone only got $500,000 guaranteed in 1992 dollars. I don't know. I haven't seen what she ended up actually making. I have to believe it's probably 10 times that or more.
I mean, you know, they probably made it up to her when they made Basic Instinct 2. But there's no telling, because back then, you know, the only people that got like back in money would be like Jack Nicholson and Bill Murray and, you know, Eddie Murphy, some of the big time stars. And obviously she wasn't the first or even the 10th choice for this part. So I doubt
she had to get something, and she's got to have something off the video deal with royalties and that kind of thing. That's made her
think about all
a bunch
other
of movies
that she's done. There's a good chance she wouldn't have been in most of these. So pretty much every movie she made afterwards was ancillary payment for Basic Instinct.
Probably true.
Let's hit another critic real quick. Peter Travers.
Yeah.
You ever heard of him from Rolling Stone? Praised the movie.
Can't say that I ever knew who Peter Travers was and wouldn't have trusted his opinion anyway on what to go watch.
He's a pretty big-time movie critic. He's from Rolling Stone magazine. He praised the movie. He said it was a guilty pleasure, and he expressed admiration for Paul Verhoeven's direction. Listen to this. Saying his cinematic wet dream delivers the goods, especially when Sharon Stone struts out with enough come-on carnality to singe the screen.
I like that.
That's
some words.
That pretty much describes it perfect.
That's some words. Now, you brought it up a couple of times that they went ahead and made a second one of these, and you and I have kind of gone round and round on and off of these on-demand podcast shows like we've seen that. So let's do it on the record here for this show. They should have left well enough alone. That's that second one. I've watched it maybe one time all the way through and seen part of it maybe once another time. Bad, bad movie. Bad, bad decision on her part. I know she must have been there for the check, like you were talking about. I don't know what she got. Maybe you do, because you always have the vital stats, what she got for the sequel, for the second one. But they should have left well enough alone. As much as the Basic Instinct original is a classic, the second one is that big of a flop.
Well, you know, and we've talked about this over the years, as far as I don't understand what the deal is with all these sequels that come out too far down the road, like Dumb and Dumber 2. What was up? You know, that came out, the original came out in 1984, and then it basically took them 20 years, you know, maybe what, 22 years to make another one. You know, and I understand Jim Carrey got to be too big to play that type of part.
Right.
You know, maybe Sharon Stone was trying to distance from Basic Instinct, and, you know, and then she's like, hey, I guess I'll go do it and take the money. I mean, who knows? But it took them 14 years because the original Basic Instinct came out in 92. Basic Instinct 2 came out in 2006. It was a complete bomb. The critics hated it. It didn't make any money because part of the problem is its core audience was, you know, the people that were in their 20s or whatever that went to go see Basic Instinct when it first came out were now in their 40s and raising kids. They're not going to go see this movie. You know, not to mention the fact that it was just bad.
Well, and a similar plot line because it involves a London police officer that's investigating her. And
I think it's like a London shrink or something, isn't it? Because she's a, I want to say.
Is he the shrink?
Yeah.
Is he the shrink or the cop? Again, I think I've seen the movie one time all the way through, but I haven't seen it in the last decade. Again, they should have just left well enough alone on that.
So if you're listening and you have not seen Basic Instinct 2, pass on it. Go watch something else on Netflix instead.
That movie ended up making $38 million in 2006, which, again, the money is different in that time frame. I'm curious. Sharon Stone probably got triple or maybe even five times what she got, $2 or $3 million or maybe
more. I'm going to even go out on a limb. I bet she made at least 10 to be in it because they had to overpay her to do it because you know she didn't want to do it.
Well, I mean, certainly if they meet
your
price.
Speaking of money, let's go back and revisit our box office for a minute because we talked about how it made $117 million. And it for the year 1992, it finished number 9. You want to try and guess some of the ones that came ahead of it in 1992?
All right, so 1992, A Few Good Men was around in 1992.
It was number 5, 141.
I remember seeing in the theater Clint Eastwood Unforgiven with Morgan Freeman in 1992. That's got to be in the top 10.
Unforgiven was behind Basic Instinct. It was number 11.
How about that? What else in 1992 would I have seen? I'm trying to go off the top of my head. You got it in front of you on what I would have seen in a theater that was that good that year. I don't know. I'm at a loss because
the top two movies were definitely very family-friendly movies.
How about Parenthood with Steve Martin?
No.
Parenthood.
I'll go ahead and give it away. We have Aladdin as number 1.
Okay, gotcha.
Home Alone 2. Batman Returns.
I did see Home Alone 2. I did see Batman Returns in the theater, yeah.
Lethal Weapon 3.
Saw that one in the theater. That's Rene Russo in that one.
And then 5, A Few Good Men. 6, Sister Act. 7.
Saw that in the theater.
Kevin Costner movie, The Bodyguard.
Saw that in the theater, yep.
Number 8, I remember this one was just a super surprise hit, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World in the theater, yes.
It made 121. Then we had number 9, Basic Instinct, 117. Number 10, rounding out the top 10, Tom Hanks and Gina Davis in A League of Their Own.
Phenomenal movie. I can't believe that was 92. I would have thought that was the 80s. So you got me on that.
Crazy?
And I did find it while we're talking on We've Seen That, because technology being what it is, it would have taken us a couple of days back in the 90s to find out what somebody did and have to research it and call a newspaper. Sharon Stone made Famous Jay Betzel for Basic Instinct 2, the sequel, $13.6 million guaranteed.
How about that?
So as you mentioned, she made it up on the back end of making subsequent pictures. What she didn't make on the front end, she was a bargain for Basic Instinct. So in summation, in closing about this movie, final thoughts on Basic Instinct?
Really, really entertaining movie. It's one of those where if you haven't seen it, you really need to watch it. And let me ask you this. Do you think it holds up 25 years later?
Yes. In a word, yes. Michael Douglas in Wall Street is his iconic role. Is this the second best Michael Douglas memorable movie, or is there another one?
Hard to say this one over Fatal Attraction because Fatal Attraction was big.
No, Fatal Attraction was big. Fatal Attraction was big, but this one I think was bigger to be known for.
I would say this one over. I would.
I mean, he's in Romancing the Stone with Kathleen Turner, and they made what, two of those, four of those?
Two of those. Don't forget, he had that little run where he was just basically Mr. GQ in all these movies. He had The Perfect Murder. And he
very good in that
game.
Perfect Murder. He's the husband, and it's the remake of the thriller, the Hitchcock thriller from earlier, where he's the husband trying to have his wife killed.
Forget Disclosure with Demi Moore.
Phenomenal movie, but in that case, he's the patsy. In that case, he's kind of the gullible computer guy that gets mixed up with the evil Demi Moore, who's a revenge-seeking ex. trying to ruin him at the computer company. So
yeah, she filed sexual harassment against him. His character wouldn't have put up with that.
He made disclosure. Didn't he make disclosure right after Basic Instinct? Wasn't that about a 93 or 94 movie? Something like that?
He had one movie in between, which was Falling Down.
Remember that one? Now, see, that's a very good role where he's playing a worker that gets laid off and just psychologically snaps and goes on a killing rampage and is going around and basically evening the score on all kinds of bullies and people that are doing wrong all over Los Angeles and murdering them and killing them until Robert Duvall eventually tracks him down at the end. But yeah, I mean, Michael Douglas was hot there for a while with a lot of these different roles. I still
yeah, the American president. That was a big
the American
traffic.
President.
I mean,
yes, he's in a bunch. But the American president. He's iconic as the president of the United States in that one. So you're listing all these off. Still though, yeah, Gordon Gekko, Wall Street one, and I got to go Nick Curran for Michael Douglas. That character more so than the president, more so than some of those others that you listed. But he was in a bunch and. It's amazing. Well,
don't forget, he did play Steve Keller in the streets of San Francisco back in the 70s.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Preparing for this role back in the day with Carl Malden. I mean, there's no one under the age of 30 that would hear this show that has any idea that Michael Douglas had a television career, very successful. I mean, keep in mind, at the time that show was on, four channels on your TV, ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS. And they were huge. I believe it was an ABC network television show. They were monstrously popular. He and Carl Malden for the streets of San Francisco. Television actor long before a movie actor. How about that?
Okay, so we definitely will say this is number two for him. Is this number one for Sharon Stone?
Gotta be. What else is in front of it? Give me a choice. Give me a choice. Give me something else. We've already torn apart Basic Instinct 2. You talked about her being in Total Recall or anything else.
Sliver.
Wasn't she in one of the Batmans later on? Or she was in Catwoman, right? She's in Catwoman later on. So
The Specialist with Sylvester Stallone,
which I think she made the next year, right? That was a 93 movie, I think.
That was a 94. She had that was her next big one. Let's see what else. She was in The Quick and the Dead and Casino.
Yep.
Remember she was in Casino with Robert
playing
De Niro.
The wife.
She was up for an Oscar for that.
Quick and the Dead. She's there with Leonardo DiCaprio at the very end.
Gene Hackman,
Russell Crowe.
Big cast. They could make that movie today.
But that was a cast where Leonardo DiCaprio was not that well known, and neither was Russell Crowe. And
Sharon Stone was the lead.
Yeah.
She was top billing.
All right, so I think we've pretty well talked it all through on Basic Instinct, which launched her, which gave her her big start. You got to tell. You know what? I can't let you get out of here on We've Seen That because you were trying to do a little analysis and recon work and rewatch the movie a little bit, and you were doing this while at your job. You were at your 9 to 5 trying
gonna,
to sneak.
I'm not gonna, like, mention my job's name, because
right?
Obviously,
yeah.
We shouldn't be doing this, but I took a little break when I was at work. I had a little time. You know, there's this thing called overtime that the bosses don't like you get. So I took a little break, and I was watching a little Basic Instinct on Netflix to try and get caught up just so I could hang with you and talk about this very, very important movie.
You had to keep the sound down, and you had to try to make sure nobody's watching you watch this. Because this is not like what did you say?
I wasn't there for everyone to
out in
see.
The open,
I was just, like,
right?
On property.
Well, but I mean, but by the same token, this is not Aladdin, one of the movies you'd listed from 1992 that we're watching, right? Or Home Alone 2. This is Basic Instinct.
And
good.
I had seen it before, so I knew when certain parts were coming. I just kind of put my thumb down on the phone and
right.
Forward a little
turn
bit.
The sound down. Do what you had to do. All right.
Yeah, this is all for T.J. Reeves so that the show will work out well. I wanted to see it more recently so that I could actually talk about it.
Yeah, so you're well-versed on it.
I risked my job just for you and the listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, it is a great edition of We've Seen That. Have we covered it all on Basic Instinct?
I think so.
How about that pun?
Actually, I'll tell you what. Wait.
How about that pun? Is there anything covered in that movie? Sharon Stone's barely covered in that movie, and so I'm just punning away with did we cover it all at the end? She's uncovered for most of the movie. Continue. What else?
There's one thing I did want to mention because we talked about how some of the critics loved it, some of them didn't love it too much. I did want to mention in 1992, Basic Instinct opened the Cannes Film Festival.
So they had.
It's hard to think about with knowing the type of movies that open and close that prestigious festival over in France.
Well, they wanted to see it.
The Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, and
think about that when you're watching this movie.
And what I love is your Texas accent, because everywhere else, not that I'm cultured, they call it Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival, because it's French. But you're in Texas, so you open the can. It's like opening a can of sardines or a can of Beanie Weenies. They open the can with Basic Instinct. You taught me something I didn't know.
So,
they were onto it.
Say Cannes. The con,
well,
C-O-N, Crimson Tide, I have the con.
Or do you want to scream it like in Star Trek, con, whatever you prefer. We have totally digressed, but
I think that's pretty much an ender. What's your social media if anybody wants to talk to
you? Yeah, if you want to find us, there's a couple of different ways. Obviously on Facebook or on Twitter, you can find We've Seen That. And you can talk to us about this movie as well on our personal accounts. You can follow me as I work, at least until they hear this show, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their radio broadcast. You can follow me at Buck Sideline Guy on Twitter. You can find me there on that social media platform. But again, use our We've Seen That Facebook and Twitter page. And they can find you where, Famous Jay?
At The Famous Jay on Instagram and Twitter. And if there's any movies anybody would like us to go back and revisit, feel free to hit us up on any social media and we'll look into it.
And look, spread the word through our friends at Blog Talk Radio, or whether you're hearing this through iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you're hearing We've Seen That. Rate this show, rank us, move us up, spread the word about We've Seen That. And I like Jay's suggestion. Give us some other movies you'd like to hear us talk about, maybe some of your favorites. I still can't get over Basic Instinct was 25 years ago. We cannot be that old.
We're not. We're just more experienced, like you said earlier.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with that. Famous Jay, thank you. I appreciate you being on board for this edition of We've Seen That.
Thanks. See you, everybody.
I'm TJ Reeves. We'll talk to you next time on the latest edition of We've Seen That, movies from the 80s and 90s and more.